Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Senator Dianne Feinstein has been basically at war with the CIA over a report that has been long in coming out. And you, sir, are on the Subcommittee on National Security and Oversight and Investigations. And that means you get asked the question, what's going on here, especially when we consider words like oversight?
Well, things are out of control in the intelligence community. That's what you're seeing. And let me just go through it a little bit. First of all, Senator Feinstein has immense experience and has a reputation as someone who is a very stalwart defender of the CIA, the NSA, and the intelligence community. And she understands how important it is to this country that we have good intelligence gathering capacity. She knows that, and she's defended those, even when others have been critical. It is an absolute shocker in sending ripples throughout the Congress that she gave a 45-minute speech on the floor with chapter and verse being roundly critical of activities by the CIA. And the two things that were at the heart of her criticism should be of enormous concern, I think, to all Americans. Number one, she's been, on a bipartisan basis, trying to get information about the torture, rendition, waterboarding activities of the CIA. Where was their authority? What did they do? How extensive was it? And did it produce anything? And the CIA has essentially been stonewalling. That's an assertion she made, I think, quite reluctantly. And then the second, and this is the one that's incredibly disturbing for separation of powers concerns, her allegation, and again, this is a very sober-minded pro-intelligence community senator, the allegation is that the CIA folks hacked into her committee computers in an effort to find out what they were getting and to basically interfere with the oversight process. Those are very, very serious charges made by a very serious and credible person. So we've got to get to the bottom of this. But, you know, what I've seen with intelligence is that, let's go back, 9/11, we obviously had to have a response. And it required, it was shocking. But what happened in the intelligence community is that they started getting budgets that none of us knew how much they were getting, and there was no oversight. You've got 16 different agencies. And you also had the CIA starting to get, in effect, military power, where they were doing renditions, where they were doing the drone strikes. And as they proceeded, basically the CIA had two questions. Is it a bad guy, and can we kill him? And you know what? There are other issues that have to be considered in this tough world that we're in. There are political considerations. What's the consequences of an action? What are the consequences of no action? There are diplomatic considerations. What happens to our relationship with allies who we need to help us if we take an action, if we don't take an action? When you have a militarized intelligence gathering agency where they're going beyond giving the intelligence that we need to our political and diplomatic leaders, and they're making these decisions, it has real consequences. And the CIA, there's the indication here is they overstepped their bounds. So it is absolutely essential that we restore oversight so that the CIA can do and do well the work that we depend on them to do, and that's intelligence gathering. You know, so there's a number of things going on. There's the Feinstein investigation. I've got a bipartisan bill. I've got close to 70 sponsors, very conservatives, very liberal, that would say that the top-line budget number request by the president for each of the 16 intelligence agencies, that be public. You know, I think the public's entitled to know how much we're spending, and that's the beginning of oversight. So in order for us to have an intelligence community that's doing the job and serving the interests of the American people and making us more secure, we do have to have more active congressional oversight.
Are you at all concerned about President Obama's role in all of this?
Well, of course. I mean, he's the decider, but in what you've seen here is that he is First of all, I'm not concerned that he was involved in what Senator Feinstein's talking about. What I am concerned about is that he moved forward aggressively on reforms with some of the NSA activities, like, for instance, the metadata program. The fact that that metadata program had the United States, the NSA, collecting your emails and mine, text, on telephone logs, all of that information in this massive government data bank, I think, is way overreach. And the president is proposing some reforms, including that there be prior judicial authorization before such information is gathered. So my concern with the president is that he push ahead to make certain that we get back into a proper balance between security and privacy.
There's been some talk about these special FISA courts being basically rubber stamps. And they're secret judges, you know. I mean, is this dangerous to you?
It's very dangerous. In the legislation that Senator Leahy and Congressman Sensenbrenner are proposing, and I'm a co-sponsor, would rein in those FISA courts and make their decisions more public. And what's happened with FISA, the bad thing, it went beyond what the authors of that original Patriot Act had in mind, particularly Mr. Sensenbrenner, is that instead of just authorizing a specific activity based on the statute, they've started to expand into interpreting law and expanding the law in the definition of things well beyond what that statute.
Can you give us an example, Peter?
Well, the metadata program is the best example. Mr. Sensenbrenner did not write that legislation with the thought in mind that the court would ultimately authorize the collecting of everybody's emails, text, and phone logs. And then these decisions that are made by the FISA court are in secret, so there's not any way even A, to know about it, or B, to challenge it. So, you know, basically this is a situation where the intent was to give an inch and NSA took a mile. So we've got to get back on the job on that.
Could you remind me why we shouldn't know which judges sit on the FISA court?
They're appointed by Chief Justice Roberts, and he makes these appointments solely by himself. So you've basically empowered one individual, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, to make all of the appointments of folks who sit on the FISA court. So it's not anything that requires Senate confirmation, and then these people serve and make decisions that none of us know about.
But shouldn't we know about who they are?
Well, I think we do know who they are. I think we do. But there's no input other than Chief Justice Roberts into who appoints them.
One last question on this, and that's context. After the 9/11 tragedy, we didn't know where we were, right? I mean, we just didn't really know where we were. And the idea was, you see it on Law and Order all the time, the kid is kidnapped, they're putting somebody's head into the toilet to make them say where the kid is kidnapped to, where they've got him. I expect that that's what the thinking was at the time, right?
Well, I think it is. And it is, you know, there's a lot that you can understand. When you're under threat, you know, and you're close to it, you're going to give the benefit of the doubt to security. We'll all be like that. If our home is insecure, we're going to try to take steps to make it safe. But the challenge in a democracy is to try to maintain that balance between security and individual rights and privacy. And there's an ebb and flow, and has been throughout our history. And frequently, when we're facing a threat, we make decisions that in the fullness of time we look back on and say, why in the world did we do that? You know, why did we inter American citizens of Japanese origin in World War II?
Sure.
We were scared. We had reason to be scared. But we took an action that, in hindsight, we didn't need to take, and really was against American values of inclusion.
And we didn't take it with the Germans or the Italians either.
Yeah, but so it's tough. It's understandable. But on the other hand, that's the responsibility, particularly of those who serve in Congress and in public office and in the president, to try, even in the tough times, to maintain that balance. So I do think that it's very important that the Feinstein investigation continue, that we get to the bottom of this. And part of it is so that we can get back to a proper balance between security and privacy. But by the way, it's also so that we can have a well-functioning security agency. You know, if we are turning our CIA, that has done, in many cases, incredibly important work for us. And the NSA is absolutely important, the work that they do. But if it's without guidelines, and basically, like in the case of the NSA, they have all these outside contractors that are making millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars, you know, they'll cook up an idea that has less to do with security than it does to do with profits,
sure.
And they'll sell it, and then it's a secret budget, so we don't even get to kick the tires and say, wait, what are we spending that money on? Or why are we duplicating what we're doing in the NSA with the CIA? And why aren't they coordinating better? I mean, all of those are practical things. I mean, could you imagine if we had 16 different agencies in government with 16 secret budgets administering the food stamp program? Mm-hmm. I mean, people go wild about that. They'd ask the obvious questions. And you know what? Whatever the function is, it shouldn't, no matter how important, it should not be exempt from accountability.
Peter Welch, always fun to talk to you, always instructive. You know, you give us an insight that we would not have without your being here, and we thank you so much for your intelligence and for doing this for us.
Thank you.